right, thank you. Preacher, open your Bibles, real please, the book of Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment. And then bring the message I believe the Lord would have me to in the service tonight. You pray for God's will to be done. And let's just go to meeting and let God speak to our heart from His eternal Word. Appreciate the message, Brother Sutton. I always enjoy hearing Brother Ronnie preach. And the other preaching has been good all day today. I praise the Lord for it. Thank God for it. I'm kind of envious of Brother Jimmy. I wish I could still run around like that. And I failed the other night in the pulpit standing still. Now, when you get to that place, you're in bad trouble. I got my feet tangled up, and I went down. Thank the Lord I got up. Amen. Amen. But anyway, I appreciate all the messages. I've enjoyed it all. Thank God for all the missionaries. I'll tell you, I say this with all of my heart. I'm just honored to be saved. And above that, Brother Gene, God in mercy called me to preach. I don't deserve to be a preacher. None of you do either, really. I'm talking about myself. I thank God every day of my life. God let me be born in America where I could hear the gospel. I'm not better than anybody else because I'm an American. But all of my life I've been exposed to the Word of God. I cannot remember a day. The fondest and fatherish memory, Brother Plato, that I have is in an old farmhouse. The fireplace, the mantle. And on the left-hand end of that old mantle lay that old black back book that said in gold letters, Holy Bible, on the back of it. I've lived inside a church all my life. Amen? I don't mean right before I could just see it, but you know what I'm talking about. I've known preachers as long as I've known anybody. Fact is, many often ask about my first name. I was named after my mother's pastor. My mother and daddy's pastor's last. His name was Noah Stinney. And I got his last name. My papa on my mother's side was Tom Davis, another Baptist preacher, and that's my middle name. I'm named after two Baptist preachers, foreordained for the foundation of the world. Amen. But, I'm just thankful to God. There's a lot of people older than I am, even older than Brother Plato is. That has never seen a copy of the Word of God. They've never met a preacher. They have no church to attend. They live in heathen darkness and they'll die there. And their only hope is what we're involved in this week. Missions. Reaching the world with the gospel. That's chapter number 13, verse number 1. The Bible said, now there were in the church that it was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers such as Barnabas, and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. If I didn't pronounce them right, you do it right when you get up, all right? Verse number 2, I love this verse. The Bible said, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they, the church, had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. Watch how the Holy Spirit honors the work of the church, verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I plead for help tonight. Lord, I pray that you give me wisdom tonight to deal with every issue that I'm dealing with in the service tonight. I pray, dear Lord, you open the eyes of our understanding and let us see scriptural missions as we need to tonight in the Word of God. Help me, dear Lord, help your people, Father. I don't want to add anything you don't want added. I don't want to miss out anything you won't miss, you won't put in. But help me, dear Lord, tonight to help your people. Oh, God, help us that all of our life and all of the work of God would be scripturally based, Bible truths. And, Lord, we not only believe it, but we act upon it, live in it, and enjoy the work of God that God lays out for us in the work of God. Help me to help your people. And for what you do, I'll give you praise, honor, and glory because I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please. The scene of the message for tonight from the Word of God. Last night I brought us briefly through the first 11 chapters of the book of Acts. We looked at the tragedy of missing missions. Now, I want to make this statement. I may not have made it clear last night. There were a lot of good things happened in the early chapters. I'm not trying to put down anything that happened there. But my focus is on the fact that they missed missions. And because they missed missions, that great church became a late church. And God, as it were, goes down to another town and starts the church at Antioch, moves His operating offices from Jerusalem down to Antioch, and the work of God that was stressed out in world missions began not in Jerusalem, but in the church at Antioch. I have this note. I hope you will not backfire on me too much for saying it. But in the first 11 chapters, 12 chapters, you have missions ignored, and you have the Great Commission abandoned. But when you come to chapter 13, you have missions initiated and the Great Commission activated in the following chapters. So what I'd like to do tonight, the Holy Ghost will let me to do so, I want to preach from chapter number 13 through chapter number 20, and I'll give a brief oversight of it, and we'll be out by 12. I never make it on Sunday morning. I'll try to make it tonight by 12. But I'm really interested in what the Bible teaches. I said last night the book of Acts is not a doctrinal book per se, but it is an example to us of the work of the Holy Spirit through the early church in instituting the mission program that God wants us to have. Now, I want to make a statement, Brother Shepherd, and I've weighed what I'm fixing to say. Now, I hope you'll weigh it before you get critical of me. I love to see physical evidence of whatever I'm doing in the ministry. I like to see the altars filled. I like to see people rejoice when I'm preaching a rejoicing message. I like to see sinners saved when I'm preaching. I love that. But one of the lessons we better learn is you cannot always judge your work by physical evidence, but by the Word of God. Can I give you a good example and I'll move on? You remember when Moses smote that rock the second time? It brought the same results as it would have brought if he'd have spoke to it. But the set in the water didn't come out. They did all drink. If that had been in our day, we would have lifted him to the high heavens. What a preacher. What a camp meeting. Everybody got blessed. But in that same moment, God said to Moses, because of this, you're not going to cross over. God is not obligated to honor my thoughts, my ideas, my desires, my works. But He will honor the Word of God. And we need to make sure our ministry, whatever it is, and I don't like that word, our ministry, but you know what I'm talking about. We better make sure that it is Bible-based to the Word of God. Now, having said that, let me make this statement. There is a lot of stuff. I guess that's a good word to use. There's a lot of stuff that's brought under this huge umbrella of missions in our day. I don't mind saying this, and if I'm judgmental, so be it. But there's a lot of stuff called missions that is not scriptural missions. We're in a generation of independent Baptists where whatever ministry you want to have, whatever thing you want to start, just start it, call it missions, and somebody support it. Amen. I believe you could start a missionary ministry of mending socks and somebody buy the thread. But I am interested in what the Bible says. So what we're going to look at tonight is the Holy Spirit directs us as missions in action here in these chapters of the book of Acts. Let me begin where we're at in our text tonight. First of all, I want to talk to you about the personnel of missions. Where do we get our missionaries? How do you become a missionary? I think the Bible, I know the Bible has the answer. I want you to notice in our text tonight these things. First of all, we find in our text, without going back and reading Scripture, that God calls men to be missionaries. When I emphasize men, I'm not excluding their family. He calls, I believe, all of them together. But I'm saying to you that God's still in the calling business of the men that God chooses to be a missionary. I believe every missionary that calls that name and carries that name ought to have in their lifetime an experience where the Holy Ghost came to them and God dealt with them and called them and put them in the ministry of missions. God calls them. Number two, I would say underneath that, these two thoughts, first of all, that when you find out where God calls them here, you find out that God calls them out of the church. Now I'm going to go ahead and say it. God's still in the church building business. Upon this rock I will build my church. And you are 2,000 years later and he's still building his church. You say, I don't believe that, preacher. You've got a problem I don't have. Why would God call a missionary to go to a foreign field to build a church if he's not working building one here? Amen. Who was it, the old missionary that said, a church, a lamp that will not burn in America will not burn in Africa? Missions is not seeing the cross in the sea. Missions is seeing the cross. That makes a difference in our life. By the way, Brother Sutton, you mentioned this a minute ago, and I'm not just repeating you, but we're a generation when there's a lot of religionist people that look down on the local church. Like Allen Ford Baptist Church. I want to tell you, God still claims a church to be the bride of Christ. Now I want to make a statement. Please, I'll settle in a minute here and Google where I'm going. But if you don't like my wife, you don't like me. You say, Brother Blue, I'm going to be your friend, but I hate your wife. Get out of here and shut up. Amen. To tell me you love God and don't love His church, you're lying through your teeth. God loved the church, Christ died for the church, and God set up the institution. I want to say this. Every ministry, whatever it is in the work of God, ought to be connected to the local church. God calls them out of a church. And then let me say number two, God calls them to a culture. Or to a country. What I mean by to a culture, Paul was called to the Gentiles. I don't have any problem, preacher. I feel like there's some people that are called to the Jewish people. They may be called to the Indian people, the Native American people, and God gives in them a ministry, a heart to minister that. There are those who no doubt God calls to have a prison work, and they need work as well. But I'm simply saying to you, it's not the missionaries choosing. It's God's choosing. Me and a pastor stayed in a motel room at 4 o'clock in the morning with a missionary that did not see that it mattered where you're at. God told Elijah, I'm changing your address to THERE, and if you get THERE, the mail will run. If you don't get THERE, the mail will run, but you won't get the mail. God calls a man. God calls him out of a church, and God calls him to a country or to a culture, a people. Now, number two, not only God calls them, but the church commissions them. You know, now y'all want me to preach or not? I'm going to whether you want me to or not. But I believe preachers, and I'm just throwing this out, Brother Shepherd, I'm not trying to take it any policy for you or anybody else, but I believe we as independent Baptists ought to commission evangelists and missionaries out of our church, just like we commission missionaries to go to a foreign field. In America today, I don't care what kind of ministry you've got, you can join a Baptist church and it's in their mind that your minister becomes a part of that church, but the problem is they never put it under the authority of that church. I believe there will be a service when evangelists are set apart to mission out of that church to go. When missionaries, and most missionaries who go to the field are commissioned somewhere down there before they go. But I'm simply saying to you, it's not a matter of you just joining up for tax purposes or you just joining up because you like the preacher and he's got a big name, but it's you joining that church and that church seeing the work of God in you and that church commissioned you. You see, missionaries are to be sent out by the local church. Brother Herbert, I don't want to ever have anything to do to help a missionary that is not backed by his local church. Amen. Your pastor won't help you. Your church won't help you. Don't come to me asking me to support you. They're called. They're sent out by the local church. Then they are supported by local churches. I could get in a lot of trouble here. I don't have a problem if you worked at a business or you got connection with a business and somehow know that business wants to contribute to your monthly needs. I don't have a problem with that, but that's not where you go seeking support. God called you out of the church, you're sent out by the church, and you're to be supported by the church. And then we ask lady number three, you're to be submitted to the authority of that local church. I don't care who you are, where you go, how popular you may be, how big your name is. God wants you to be called out of that church, commissioned by that church. God wants you to be sent out by that church, supported by churches. And God wants you to be submitted to the authority of that local church. Now I want to make a statement. I'm not trying to be controversial. I have no problem with mission boards. In general, there's a lot of problems, different things I could bring up. But I'm not against mission boards, that's what I'm saying. But any time a mission board tries to usurp authority over that local church and that pastor, they're wrong. Many years ago, we had a man that went out of our church to serve the Lord his missions. And our church commissioned him and sent him out. And he went with one of the big boards of that day. And they got down there and they questioned his salvation. They even called the pastor and asked him about it. Pastor said, I'll talk to him about it. He got saved in my house. I believe he's saved. I'll talk to him about it. He talked to him about it, and the board overriding my pastor. And override a question in our church. We don't know whether he's saved or not. I'm not trying to put a name on me, preacher, but I have a pretty fiery pen. When I use a computer, I wrote that board and that general director a letter. And I said, I know the office of a pastor is scriptural. I do know the local church is scriptural. I don't know for sure whether a mission board is or not, but I'm going to ask a bunch of preachers which one's right, me or you. And I don't mean it wrong. I don't mean it wrong. I've called no names. But I'm telling you, Brother Shepherd, they call me and come crawling back. What can we do to right this wrong? You gave us the ball and we fumbled it. They completely owned up to it and we got it right. And we were friends until that man until he died. He was my friend. You don't have to hold grudges because you have some disagreements sometimes. Get them settled and go on and serve God. Say amen right there. But there is no authority over the local church. By the way, that's not only true for missionaries. That's true for evangelists. Amen. I got to leave that. I got to go on. The personnel of missions, God calls him. And the church commissions him. Now I want to go to the second thought and spend some time here. Not only is there personnel of missions, but you turn a page to chapter number 14. I want to look at the program for missions. The program for missions. Now, if I burst your balloon, missionary, and saying this, I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm doing it to be helpful. God don't send you to the mission field to do what you want to do. If you're right with God, God will put in your heart what He wants you to do. If you're right with God, you want to do what He wants to do. And by the way, what He wants to do will always line up with the Word of God. The Holy Ghost never contradicts the Holy Scriptures. What is a mission program? What are you going to do when you get the mission field? What am I supposed to do when I get the mission field? Look at chapter 14, verse number 21. There's 10 steps in God's program Very simple right here, and I will not dwell long on any of them because I won't have to. Look at your Bible. If you're marking your Bible, let me give you some words to underline. Verse number 21. The Bible said, and when they had preached, that's a good place to start. Did you notice that was first? The job of a missionary on the field is preaching. Preach the Word of God. The whole book to the whole world. When they had preached, that's number one. Look at number two. The Bible said, and taught. That's the second one. Mission work is not only preaching, mission work is teaching. Teaching enlightens the mind, and preaching lays the demand at the wheel. But God uses both of them to establish the church and to establish people in the work of God. And God uses them, as our brother's son said, to bring sinners to the Savior that they might be saved by the grace of God. You're going to be a scripture missionary. You're going to have to do some preaching and teaching. Number three, look at your Bible. Then the Bible said in verse, and confirming, verse number 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. Now look at me just a moment. That has nothing to do with some ritual of some religious organization. How do you confirm? Go back to the first two. Preach. Teach. Preach. Teach. Preach. Teach. And preaching and teaching will do one or two things. It will confirm or convict. Amen. Confirming the souls. And see, now, they face something, Brother Shepherd, that we don't face so much in our day. You do some on the mission field. But they're facing a bunch of Judaizers that still pull back to their old form of religion. So those preachers that day, Brother Doug, they had to keep reminding them that Christ was the end of the law and Christ was the final sacrifice and all of those things that we don't have to deal with so much today here in America especially. But my friend, there's preaching, there's teaching, there's confirming. Then in verse number 22 again, there's exhorting them. Encouraging, instructing, lifting them up, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Number five, then there's ordaining elders in verse number 23. Let's read verse number 23. The Bible said, and when they had ordained them elders in every church. Now I want you to look at me just a moment. I want to make a statement. I am convinced, well, that's not even the right way to say that. I know God is a God of prevision, so it can be a God of provision. You understand what I'm saying? God sees the need before the need arises, so we have the need waiting when the time comes. So when God sends a missionary to start a church, God knows that church is going to need that pastor. Yes, sir. And God sometimes will save somebody right there, sometimes He brings them in, but God will save somebody and God will call that man, and then that man has to be encouraged by the pastor, confirmed by the missionary, I should say, exhorted, and then he has to be ordained. God still does that for every church. Amen. Yeah, I just said a mouthful and I need to elaborate upon him. I believe God sends a missionary to field start a church. God, if that missionary stays till God gets through with him, God will have a pastor to take his place when he sends him away. You say, I don't believe that. I cannot help it. I believe I'm dividing the scripture right. I think I'm rightly dividing. So there's preaching, there's teaching, there's confirming, there's exhorting. Then there is ordaining. Look in at verse number 23. Verse number 23, the Bible said, and when they had ordained them elders in every church. Now look at this. And had prayed and fasted. Prayer and fasting. Let me tell you what I get out of this, and I'm not going to argue the point. I'm just going to tell you what I get out of this. Missionaries, it's good for pastors as well. The people that you're, let me use a missionary tonight. Brother Matthew, when you get where you're going, you go through these, you get a young man that God's saved and called to preach and you're discipling him. I believe this praying and fasting deals with on-the-job training. It ought not be you praying in all the answers from God. It ought to be you and that young man. He ought to be involved. He ought to be learned. He ought to be taught by experience that he can pray just like the older missionary does. You'll not go around saying, boy, missionary done this. No, we done it. God heard our prayer. We prayed. We fasted. And let them have their own experience with God answering their prayer. It'll strengthen them in the faith. Look again, if you will, please. There's preaching, there's teaching, there's confirming, there's exhorting, there's ordaining elders, there's prayer and fasting. And then the last part of verse number 23, there's commending. Commending them. We commended them to the Lord. I believe the real work of missions, that missionary goes, does what we're talking about here, gets a church started, and then there comes a time when he has to turn it over to God and the people and the new pastor. And has to, can I say it? I'm not talking about completely desert them, but has to take hands off as far as authority is concerned and let that be a local, indigenous church as the Bible teaches it ought to be. You say, well, Brother Blue, I don't know where I can trust them or not. It's not you trusting them, it's you trusting Him. Right. Don't ask you a question. If God can't handle them, what do you think you're going to do with them? Right. Amen. Amen. So the program is preaching, teaching, confirming, exhorting, ordaining elders, praying, and commending them. Amen. In verse 24 through 26, look at these last three quickly. They're just practical. After they did those seven, Brother Shepherd, they returned back to their sending church. Look at your Bible, verse number 24. Let me read it. After they had passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Persia and went down to Attala and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which he had fulfilled. So they return, then they report, and then they rest and get ready to go again. There's 10 points. There's preaching, there's teaching, there is confirming, there's exhorting, there's ordaining elders, there's prayer and fasting, there's commending them, there's returning, there is reporting, there is resting. I still believe you cannot improve upon God's plan. Amen. In this matter. Number three, I must move on quickly. Not only there is the personnel of missions, there's a program of missions. I want to take just a moment and deal with the problems of missions. I don't know where we ever got the idea that we're going to invade Satan's territory and him just back off and let us have it. There will be battles. There's battles in pastoring. There's battles in evangelism. There's battles with the missionaries. I think sometimes missionaries fight greater battles because they're making an invasion in some of the devil's strongholds. And the devil does not want to give them up. There's several things in here, and I don't want to deal with these. I'm just going to mention them. But in Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 12, and I'm not going to read it. We see, first of all, they experienced opposition by craft. Now, I want to make this statement to both we who stay here and to them that go. Most of us here in America have not been confronted with the cult and the craft that you're going to face on the mission field. All the demonic, evil spirit works. You better be ready. You better pray. You better be ready for it. But it'll be there. When you start snatching souls with the gospel out of the hands of the devil, he will not take it shutting down. He will fight back.
That's right.
There's a problem with craft. Number two, there's a problem with conflict. There's a problem with conflict. We find in Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 13. I don't know. And there's something God just chose to keep quiet. But there is a division, a conflict between Paul and Barnabas. And it comes so great that Paul told Barnabas to get. And Paul chose Silas. Go with him. Barnabas chose John Mark. And a lot of people talk about it being a division. I think it's a multiplying. They now got two teams going instead of one. God can take our human division and multiply and still use people in the work of God. I'm just simply saying, fellas, you will not be able to get along with everybody on your field. Learn who you can fellowship with them. Learn who you can't. Stay away from them. You say, preacher, that's not a good testament. It's better than fighting all the time. But then, John Mark goes home. Acts chapter 15. There's opposition by culture. You know what the Jews said? You guys not doing it like we've been doing it. You're not preaching what we've been preaching. They went so far as to say, what you've got's good, but you need to add Judaism to it. Bring them both together. I'm telling you, just as it was in Acts 16, that Philippian jailer story, the devil and his little devils will not set back when we start invading enemy territory with the gospel. There will be some conflicts. There will be some problems arises. And there'll be problems of covetousness. Acts 16, that woman was bringing money in. And when she lost her ability to get money, they got mad at the preacher. I'm just simply saying, and you can go through and find more things, Brother Troy, in there, but I'm just simply saying to you, don't go over and think that everything's going to be hunky-dory. Don't go over and think they're going to welcome you with wide open arms and say, we're so glad you're here. They may do that at the first, but you start tearing down their religion, their gods, and preaching no other God but the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, the Bible is the Word of God. You start preaching, real preaching, and you're going to run into some problems. Some opposition will come into your ministry that you have there. Number four, there's not only the personnel for missions. There's a program of missions. There's a problem of missions. But number four, if you look at chapter 16 for just a moment, I want you to look at the placing of missionaries. Now, I have no problem with letting needy areas be known. But shepherd, somebody's praying about where to go. They feel like God wants to go. You know some field, or, you know, some instant where somebody's had to. I have no problem with you sharing that with them. I want to tell you something. I still believe God's Word is the final authority on who serves where.
Yes, sir.
Look at Acts 16, verse number 6. Speaking of Paul and his team. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, whatever you want to call it, then the region of Galatia, and were bidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the Word in Asia. You said, preacher, explain that. I'm just going to say two things and I'll let you finish it. I'm glad that they didn't go to Asia. If they had gone to Asia, the gospel would not have come to Europe and come on to us. We'd have been the heathen and they'd have had the gospel over there. But I got to go further than that and say God's got a plan and God don't want you and I trying to thwart His plan. And it was God's plan that I go. Now, what about Paul? You see, let me make this statement. Blessed is the missionary who can accept God's closed doors. And blessed is the missionary who will go through God's open doors. There's a lot of things happening to a lot of missionaries. It happens to pastors. It happens to them. I don't know why that happened. I don't know what God's doing. I'm going to tell you this much from experience. When God closes one door, Brother Shepherd, it was not He did not want the Asians to hear the gospel. It's just He had another door, can I say, a bigger door, a greater door for the Apostle Paul to go through. And when God closes one door, you wait on God. God will open another door. And when you get through that other door, you'll see how God managed that thing and bring it to pass. Get the gospel to them. So, God said, you can't go to Asia. You can't go to Bithynia. And then the Bible said, and they were forbidden the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God. Now, Asia can't go to Asia. Look at verse number 7. And when they were come to Mysia, they are saved. They attempted, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of God suffered them not. Wait a minute. This is Paul. You know, put all the answers you want to. This is a great apostle, Paul. And Brother Sutton, he tried twice and missed it. I'm going to get in trouble say this, but I got to say it. This is one missionary, Brother Shepherd, I sure am glad changed fields. You understand what I'm saying? Brought us European descent, the gospel. Amen. But they, you know what Paul did when God said you can't go to Asia, you can't go to Bithynia. You know what he done? He done the best thing there is to do when you don't know what to do. He went to bed and went to sleep. Amen. Sleep it out! Yeah. But before he woke up the next day, they saw that vision of the man of Macedonia saying, help! Somebody come over and help us! Amen. Before he got woke up, he knew it was God. Yes, determined it was God. And they got on board that boat and headed toward Macedonia. Amen. Landing in the seaport city of Philippi. And there the gospel started out on the European continent soil. So I want to say this, and can I really speak my heart? I have a great dislike for missionaries that's hopping fields. I do. I do. I'm honest with you. You spend 3 years on deputation, leaving off the church and God's people. Another couple of years in a Bible college, in a language school, getting ready to preach over there. Go over and stay 6 months. I don't like it. But I'd rather a missionary admit he missed it and come back and do his best to get in God's will than to stay on the field out of God's will. And I believe I have God's will in saying that as well. Accept it. If God closes a door, God's got something better. Amen. If God opens a door, His grace is sufficient and it will work. It'll work. It'll work. Let me close tonight and give you the fifth thing. There's the personnel of missions. There's the program of missions. There's the problem of missions. There's the placing of the missionary. I want to deal tonight very briefly, and I don't have to be long at all on this. The purpose of missionaries. Brother Shepherd, I have no axe to grind. I have no mud to throw. I believe I've got some Bible on what I'm fixing to say. I said to you in the beginning, we have made the umbrella of missions so large that everything and anybody that wants to tag the name missions on themselves, some church will take them on and support them. There's a lot of ministries. I'm not against ministries. I'm talking about working for God. I promised the Lord years ago I'd never tag my name on a ministry. If you ever see something that says Stinnett Blue Ministries, somebody has counterfeited it. Or I've lost my mind one. I belong to my wife, I belong to the church, and both of them are full time and demand more than I can give. But in the Bible, are we interested in the Bible? Are we interested in Paul's example? Yes, all right, follow me. You can do it without me going into detail. In Acts 16, Paul goes to Philippi. When he leaves Philippi, he leaves the beginning of a church. He goes from Philippi down to Thessalonica, chapter 17. When he leaves Thessalonica, he leaves a church. The beginning of it, the infant church is there. Chapter 18, he goes to Corinth. When he leaves Corinth, he leaves a church. Amen. Chapter 19 and 20, he goes to Ephesus. When he leaves Ephesus, he leaves a church. Amen. I don't have any stones to throw at anybody, but I'm just telling you, God ordained the establishing of churches in the work of missions. They go, they preach the gospel. You realize this, but a church has to be born before it can be formed. You get what I'm saying? I'm going to go one step further. If God saves a man, God will put in that man a desire to be bound together or joined together with other people of like faith. I'm telling you, if what you got don't make you go to church and join the church and be a part of the church, I wouldn't trust it. When I pastored in Tennessee, I met some people. What they had wouldn't get them out of bed on Sunday morning. But Brother Herbert, they trusted to get them out of the grave on resurrection morning. You've almost got to graduate with a degree in stupidity to do that. But I'm just simply saying to you, God is a church God. Again, I emphasize there are other ministries. I'm not knocking into them. And we support some at our church. I'm sure you do here. I'm not knocking that. Y'all support the radio ministry with the work there. And I could say other things about other ministry. I'm not knocking ministry. I'm just simply saying missions. The number one purpose of missions is church planning. Preaching, teaching, starting a church, turning it over, going to it again. And we do it through preaching and teaching the Word of God. And the ultimate goal is churches.
Right. Amen.
See, ministries that's built upon people will die when people die. Sometimes they go on to the next generation. Sometimes they go two or three generations. But churches built on the Lord Jesus Christ will be here for the next generation.
Amen.
And the following generation. Amen. So we see missions in actions. There's a personnel for missions. There's a program for missions. There's a problem of missionaries. There's a placing of missionaries. There's a purpose of missions.
Amen.
Church planting.
Yes, sir.
God help us to get back to scriptural missions. Missions in action for the glory of God.
Amen.
Again, I say this and I'm not promoting anything. This is another chapter in my book on missions, missions, missions. If you want to study it, Father. The book's on the table back there. Let's stand together, please. Your heads bowed, eyes are closed. Look at me just a moment before you close your eyes. I did not candidate to be a missions preacher. I left the field. I left the pastor almost 36 years ago, Brother Troy, to go full-time in evangelism. And all I can say is the Holy Ghost turned my direction and thrust me in and has given me the knowledge. Most, I'm not boasting, Brother Hall, but most of what I know about missions, I did not read out of a book. I read it out of the book and God gave it to me. I'm not trying to be super spiritual saying that. I'm just telling the honest truth. I didn't go to school to be a missionary preacher. I didn't follow nobody to be a missionary preacher. God put it in my heart, put it in my soul to get in the Word of God. And God began to open up Scriptures to me. Now I feel like I've got a God-given responsibility. I don't know what year will be my last year here. I mean, you know, age is working on all of us. I've not found reverse in this thing of age yet. Someday, Brother Sutton, you and I both will preach our last message. We'll run our last meeting. But I didn't want to carry to my grave what God gave me and not give it to you afresh and anew.
Amen.
Scriptural missions in action. Father, honor the Word. Use it to your glory. Bless and help your people. Bless the meeting as it continues. Work in hearts and lives. Bless all these dear missionaries, Lord. Your will be done in all of our lives. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Brother Doug?
153.
The altar's open if you need to come. Be obedient to God.